And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, March 26th, 2016. It's Season 10, Episode number 13. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Nathan.
And welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. That number again is 334-272-9228. Nate manning the phones this afternoon. Check out InGameChat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can also find us on Facebook. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. We're streaming right now on Twitch. Head over to Twitch.tv, and you can find us there. All you have to do is go to the little box at the top of the screen, type in InGameChat, and you'll be able to find us. You'll be able to join in the chat room live while we broadcast. And this is another episode where having video access available will be beneficial to you, as we got in another loot crate box that we're going to open up here.
Woohoo!
This is...
Do I get the content of this one too? Oh, loot pets.
Loot pets.
Sweet.
So the stuff that's going to be in here is going to be for your animals. And I think they cover dogs, cats, and who knows what else for you. But we're going to open that up a little bit later on, find out what's inside. Just put that right there. Also, coming up in about 30 minutes or so, we're going to talk with GT South, of course, and find out what's going on there tonight and what's coming up in the week ahead. So all of that coming up in this episode of In-Game Chat. We've got everybody back this week, and that means RJ, and we did not get an update from RJ on how things went. Mm-hmm. Part of me thinks that if things went very, very well, we probably would have heard about it by now, but maybe he held on to some good news without spilling the beans. I have no idea. So we're going to go to RJ right now and find out how final round went and give us all the details. Welcome back, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you. Much obliged. Well, in terms of performance, I'm still have yet to get out of pools. That's something I'm still going to be working on for a while now. So I'm still, as they say, the struggle is real, and that's what I'll be doing. I'll be struggling until I can find a way to get out of pools and make a significant jump in the tournaments that I play in. Overall, final round was generally, mm-hmm. I had a good time playing it.
Good. Was there a lot of people there? Good group?
There was a bigger crowd than last year due to the inclusion of Street Fighter V as as one of the tournaments to play.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I think it capped out at 1,024 entrants. And it was a very good level of play being done by the professionals that were there as well. Really good final day of looking at the finals and everything like that. But unfortunately, there were a lot of problems that went on in terms of brackets and pools, mm-hmm. and overall comfort of the attendance there because of the sudden jump in people attending. The tournament organizer, Larry Dixon, Shin Blanca, had acknowledged that there were some mistakes that were made, and he will try to fix those in the next year, Final Round 20. One of which was the use of a new bracket system for pools being made.
So something new for next year, huh?
Yeah, so he tried to implement it this year, and a lot of mistakes had happened to it. And because of that, a lot of people's pools were arranged and switched, and people were unaware that they had to be in one location. Wasn't mm-hmm. It was kind of difficult for them to know where they had to be at what certain time at what time they had to be. So a lot of folks were, I'll give you an example. If you were in like checking your pools and you were in like pool 41 for your tournament.
Yeah.
And then you check your pools again, and all of a sudden you're in like pool 7, which starts at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Why would you have switched pools?
It wasn't the person that switched pools.
I know. Why would the pool?
It was a mistake that happened with the new system they were trying to implement.
Okay.
There were technical difficulties they were having with the thing, and it wasn't working right, and it was like switching all the pools around. So in order to what the staff was trying to do was keep things moving as smoothly as possible, despite the fact that pools were switched out and moved around, and there was a lot of DQs going on because they weren't where they were supposed to be, didn't know they were supposed to be there. like I said, one of the worst case scenarios I saw was like in pool 41 one day, and then you check again, now you're in pool 7,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't know you're supposed to be there. So by the time you get there, your pool's already run and gone. You were expecting to be there maybe 4 in the afternoon, and then you have to be there 8 o'clock in the morning.
How often were they having this happen?
This happened a lot, apparently. There was a lot of people whose pools were switched on them, and they couldn't get there in time or couldn't make it in time, or some were fortunate enough to get there. They kept checking the pools constantly because they kept hearing about what was happening to other folks. They just kept checking the pools over and over and over again and to keep updated on it and got to where they needed to be.
But this didn't happen to everyone?
Some people had really big jumps in times, but some people had very minor jumps in time, things like that. But mm-hmm. it was just the luck of the draw, really, depending on where you were set. But the staff at Final Round did everything they could to get everything running as smoothly as possible, considering the mess that the new system made. And overall, like I said, overall they did pretty good considering. It could have been a lot worse, but I think they'd made every effort they could to make it go smoothly as possible for everybody involved.
Do you know when that was realized to the time when it was affecting people?
It was affecting folks. For Street Fighter, it was affecting folks because that's when they started running the Street Fighter V tournament, and people were getting moved around like that. There may have been some incidents with Friday because of the new system. They mm-hmm. were using the new system from Friday. But I didn't hear about it as much as when it did with Street Fighter V. There was a lot of incidents happening with that.
That's rough.
Oh yeah, it is rough. I mean, some people got really. And Larry talked about it on the On Blast show on Twitch. He talked about that. Mm-hmm. He came up front. He acknowledged the mistakes that were made, and all of the things that they could do to correct it, and how they were going to fix things for next year.
Did you get a refund or anything if it happened to you?
No, there's no refund.
Free admission?
No, there's no refund like that. No. Okay. But a lot of folks were upset about the changes, of course. Delays on some of the other tournaments. People got mad and went on Twitter. You know how bad an idea it is to get mad and go on Twitter and Facebook. You might say something you'll regret later on. You know, personal attacks, things like that, flailing all over the social media about the whole thing.
And wasn't there something before Final Round where there was something going around saying that it was canceled?
Yeah, someone hacked the Facebook page event and said the thing was canceled. I think it was like 2 or 3 days before it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Larry got on to fix the problem and said, no, it is not canceled. We are still running as scheduled. But
maybe they're hoping other people would drop out so there's less competition.
No. Because we're going, yeah. We're going regardless. No. This is the first. This is a major. So no. I don't see anybody dropping out just because of something said on that. They're going to mm-hmm. go around and search. They're not going to take it at face value on Facebook for that one.
Well, driving home.
Nope. They're going there. Yeah. But some of the things that Larry was talking about was in terms of people being uncomfortable at the event, like not a lot of space to move around in. He's looking into other venues, bigger venues, because the attendance like spiked up in the last month, and if you're holding that spot for that hotel, there's not enough time to like move to another hotel like a month to go. But with the sudden influx of people coming in, you know, you're stuck. You got to be there. It's got to be held there. So that was probably one of the things that made it uncomfortable for everybody. The sudden influx of people coming in, making it really jam packed, which is good. You know, a lot of attendance there, but not a lot of floor space. Really.
Well, I mean, I remember you were mentioning that there was going to be possible caps. Yeah. On tournament.
Definitely going to be a cap on Street Fighter, but I think it capped out at 1,024.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all.
So how did you do?
I didn't get out of pools. That's the goal. You have to win. In your pool, get the top two, and you go on to the big semifinal part.
Anybody that we know make it through? I mean, anybody from here?
Some of the folks I know made it through pools. Greg, who called in the show before, he mm-hmm. made it out of pools. I'm trying to think if Maurice made it out of pools. I don't know if he did or not, but I know for sure Greg did. Greg made a good run playing with Rainbow Mika in Street Fighter V, who I've seen as a terror in gameplay.
Well, sad to say, was there good matches? Did you get to see some good stuff going on?
Yeah, I saw some good stuff. The finals of all the tournaments and all the fighting games there. I looked at the finals of a lot of Mortal Kombat, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, mm-hmm. of course, Street Fighter 5. That was the best one. That was the one that got everybody got everybody's attention. Fortunately, the ended on a sour note because usually at the end of these tournaments, Capcom has some like big announcement or something they put in there, and
nothing.
We didn't get one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. Probably something on YouTube a few days later, a little while later.
Maybe. I don't know. They maybe. I mean, what's the next one?
We're getting Alex in a Street Fighter V.
Oh, I mean, what's the next tournament? What's the next big fighting tournament?
Well, NCR. Well, NCR is going on right now. North Cal Regionals. That's going on now. Probably going to be CEO and the Fall Classic. Hmm. Those are going on. Those are going to be coming up soon. Yeah, those are some big ones to look out for.
All right. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we got Evo in the summer, but that's that's then. Any discussion amongst the group that went about going to Evo again?
Well, we still got the room reserved, but we're still thinking about the whole thing about having to get tickets to the finals on Sunday, having to go to the Mandalay Bay, having to leave from the hotel, and then to go over to that whole new location. I don't know why. I mean, I don't see a problem with it all the other years. You know, they had the finals in the same building, but for some reason they decided to go to the Mandalay Bay. Probably because of the thought that a whole bunch of people were going to be in for Street Fighter as well. I mean, numbers said it was like in the about 3,000 maybe signing up for that one.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they wanted to prepare for that.
Now, outside of the fighting games, have you played anything since we've talked to you last?
Yeah, I played the DLC for Fallout 4, the Automaton. A little bit of that for Fallout 4, building robots now.
Yeah, I saw
that. Yeah, having to search for parts again.
I've downloaded it. I just haven't started it yet.
Mm-hmm.
That looks really interesting. Apparently, the main automaton guy, Mr. Robot or whatever.
Mechanist.
The Mechanist, yeah.
The Mechanist,
apparently,
yes.
He's quite a Fallout character,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the tradition of great Fallout characters. So mm-hmm. I can't wait to
haven't met it, him, her yet, but it's a... pretty entertaining right now, having to go around, you know, finding parts, certain parts again, having to go through little alterations in the missions that you've gone on earlier, new locations. That's one thing. That's a good thing, as always. Haven't been having enough fun with that so far. And now I'm prepping for MLB The Show
later on. I was wondering, I was like, what are you prepping for? What tournament's coming up?
Well, there is a Don't Get Wrecked. That's April 9th.
Where's that at?
Phoenix City.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, another local one then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, well then let's move over to Matt.
Hello.
What have you played this past week?
I picked up Earthbound for the 3DS.
Okay.
Never quite played that.
I was this close to purchasing a new 3DS.
Oh yeah?
The new 3DS.
Yeah, that's the kind I have.
Yeah. So you have the new one with the extra button?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, actually, it has three extra buttons. It's got the thumbstick and then two Z, you know, next to the triggers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. It has two other triggers next to the triggers.
Hmm. All right.
But,
I was this close because I've got credit at Best Buy.
Oh.
And I was walking into... What was I doing in Best Buy? Obviously, I never know what I'm doing in Best Buy.
Trading in this game.
Trading in games, I was about to say, yeah.
No.
Buying equipment.
I was...
price comparison.
What was... Oh, I was getting a new phone case. That's what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I was getting a brand new phone case because my other one had started to dry rot or whatever. So, you know, $15 for another one, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
All I need... Man, all I ever use... And we're sidetracking completely.
What kind of phone do you have?
It's an iPhone 6 Plus.
Okay.
And all I ever do... Like, I don't like the big bulky ones because I figure that takes away from the form factor of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They make it slim. Why bulk it bulk it up with all this
stuff?
Why
put it on steroids?
I know. I mean, unless you're going for some kind of theme case or something like that. The only thing I need is something that covers the back because I put it on its back a lot.
Yeah, so you don't want to scratch
it. Right, and then just something that keeps the face from... touch them whenever I put it down like that, if that's the case. And that's it. And that's all I need one for. So anyway, $15. Walked over, looked at the games, saw the new 3DS. And I remember reading some, or what was it? I heard somewhere where one of the virtual console games was only available on the new 3DS. You could only download it if you had the new 3DS.
Do you know which version?
Or you could only play it if you had the new 3DS. I can't remember what game it is. It was an old either SNES or NES title. I think it's probably a SNES title.
Because I know, I wonder if it's a Super Metroid will be out next month.
Yeah, but I don't know that that's necessarily specific to the to the virtual console or to the new 3DS. But so yeah, I was this close. I've got credit at Best Buy and would have knocked a good chunk off of it.
Yeah,
because remember I had credit at Best Buy and I wanted to get a Kindle gift card so I could move that stuff to my Amazon account, but they don't do that anymore.
Oh really?
They've stopped allowing you to buy Kindle gift cards at Best Buy. So you can't do that anymore to switch it over. So, yeah, there's little I can do in that regard. So I just got to spend it at Best Buy whenever I get around to it. So I almost did, but I didn't. Please continue. You got Earthbound.
Yeah, I got Earthbound playing that. It's cute. I forget if that's a SNES or just an NES game. I forget. I'll have to look that up later. But
I only remember the box art from the SNES version.
Okay. Because I think originally, maybe, like, Mother was an NES game in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I digress. Mm-hmm. Other than that, Division.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Nothing but Division, huh?
Basically.
Where are you? What's your level right now?
22.
Okay.
So I've been hammering that out. Had some time this past week.
And Jimmy the Saint says Earthbound was NES.
Okay.
And I don't know why I can see the box art as being
thank you, Jimmy.
SNES.
Maybe Earthbound 2?
Maybe that's what I'm seeing it in. Maybe that's what's in my head right now was Earthbound 2. But yeah.
I mean, I'm really I'm digging it. I think it's cute and everything. But I'm sure we'll get into some Division talk later. But at least I'm hoping so.
But it'll be you and Nate. That'll be it.
You should be joining this.
Nah. If I could have gotten that 1 cent deal that Newegg had going on.
Oh, my goodness.
I would be joining you in that, but they did not. That's it, though. Division and that's all, huh?
Oh, loaded up and played a little bit of Day of the Tentacle, the remaster.
Oh, the new one, yeah.
Yeah.
On PC, I would guess, right?
Yes, on Steam. So, of course, I like to, when I'm playing it, like, you could hit the... I think it's the select button or something like that, and it goes between the remastered version and the original, you know.
We're getting conflicted reports now. W. Matthew says Earthbound was SNES.
Huh.
Mother 1 was NES.
Okay.
Was Man Returns says it's on SNES, too. I don't, yeah. So
okay.
Maybe it showed up on both.
I was looking at the thing here. It says Earthbound is also known as Mother 2. It says Super NES and Game Boy Advance.
Okay.
Okay. I think, Mother 1 was... NES, and then mm-hmm. Mother 2, when they ported it over, I guess was Earthbound. And
mm-hmm. So,
like, you know, how the Final Fantasies were all mislabeled.
So, like, did Mother 1 come to the U.S., or?
I don't know. I don't think so.
It's Earthbound, Mother 2, so what happened to Mother 1?
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway.
Think about that later.
Yeah, Day of the Tentacle, just really like that. On the fly, when you go between the original and the remastered, you know, the music changes, mm-hmm. you know, from the original, sort of, you know, like... not quite chip tone, but, you know, the original.
MIDI,
the MIDI sound up to, you know, the remastered sound and everything. It's just really neat. So I'll have to enjoy playing that one through again.
Nate, over to you.
I'm
sure Division's in there.
Maybe an hour of the Division.
Okay. What level are you now on PC?
10.
10? Okay.
I've not been able to play at all this week. I've worked like 6 days in a row. Mm-hmm. So.
Stop it.
I know, right? Then maybe like 30 minutes of Hearthstone. That's it.
That's all?
That's it.
Oh, man.
I have no time to play anything right now.
I haven't played anything at all. You know, nothing.
How'd that happen?
Georgia?
Life.
Well, no, I went out of town Thursday after work, and I just got back into town this afternoon. I mean, literally, I walked into the studio at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We go on the air at 4, and I walked into here at about 3, and started setting up for the show. But no, I was going to play some Sniper Elite 3, just to go through that again, and I never did. And
did you ever beat that?
No. I talked about this last week. No, I never did. I got to this one level, and you know, didn't move any further from there. So
I remember you talking about how you didn't like it where, you know, you do the the sneaky sneak, and then it goes.
That was
second.
My problem. Yeah. I didn't like that aspect of the game where you start with the whole stealth situation and like just be sneaky, take these guys out, get your objectives, do your thing. And I would clear the air, man. I would clear that area. Mm-hmm. I didn't care if there was this one guy still left. I had to find him and take care of it before I moved on, which in the grand scheme, it didn't matter because the map would reset. You would get a cutscene and then the map would reset. And so let's say there's like 15 guys on a map. If I took out two just to get to my objective and the cutscene plays and then the next scenario starts on that same map, those 15 guys are then gone and replaced with whoever's coming in from whatever the cutscene was, whatever the story needed. So it's not like it added even more plus the amount that you left on the map.
Mm-hmm.
But I was because you get points. I was so determined that everybody on the map has to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you get to your objective, it plays a cutscene, and then it's pretty much run and gun from there, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't get a chance to sneak around. You might have a moment to get behind cover, but they never give you a situation
where you'll be sneaking as much.
Right. My specific example here is... You're in the desert and you have to go into this building and get some intel. You get the intel and your only exit is back the way you came, which is really exposed out in the open. And so as soon as that happens, as soon as you get that, it shows the trucks pulling up with the men launching, you know, getting in their position.
Yeah.
And they're all trained on you. They know you're in there. It's not that they're walking around doing their patterns again. They know exactly where you're at. So there may be a chance to get to be sneaky in some scenarios, but for the most part, it's all I do is just
so it's like majority run and gun instead of
not the game is just every single level has that towards the end.
Okay.
Towards the end, I mean, you get to do your sneak stuff, but in the end of the level, it will change the way you have to play and take away that ability. Again, Nate and I did a co-op mission where we got through the main part of it, but the second part of it was defeating a tank that was roaming around
just
the area. There was no sneaking with a tank. You just had to stay out of sight. Out of the line of sight. If it saw you, it would fire at you and that sort of thing, but it would just do this patrol, and you had to put down these explosives that would run over it or some stuff that would that you could detonate whenever you saw that it went over it and that sort of thing. And they made it more action-y than what it needed to be. If only it would just let you do what you'd been doing in that level to begin with. I know this is a rehash of last week, talking about last week, but Splinter Cell did the same thing.
If you want to get back into it and you need some help, let me know, because I've played it and beat it, and I could go back and be your wingman.
No, it's co-op is fun.
Yeah.
It just isn't as coordinated, I guess, as it could be, you know, but it's fun. It's fun to have that. But, if you're going in for anything points wise, don't play co-op. Splinter Cell is fun co-op, and man, I wish they would give us another Splinter Cell. I really, really hope we get something like that at E3 this year. Anybody else dropped out of E3 since last we talked about it?
I think I'm not going this year.
Okay. Yeah. I've already made up my mind in that regard as well. I'm not gonna.
Everyone's getting the NX early.
Anyway, we're gonna take a break, and then when we come back, should be talking to GT South on the phone. I know W. Matthew had said he'd like to call in as well. Church is in the chat room saying that he's about to get his Oculus Rift because they're shipping. This week, I believe, and he got into the first group of orders. Which,
congrats!
I really am interested. When you get your when you get it and mess around with it, hopefully, if you get it this week,
mail it to us.
You can call into the show next week and talk to us about it. We'd love to hear your opinion on it and how it is. So
we will clear the lines just for you.
Of course we will. That's Carson, I believe. But yeah, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of in-game chat in just a few. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Endgame Chats. Music from Bayonetta.
That sounds very Japanesey.
Japanesey?
Japanesey.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I was going to say it sounds very Capcom-ish.
It's like a J-pop.
It is. It's, yeah. Capcom, Sega, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Big soundtrack, too.
I'm Scott. We've got RJ, Matt. We've got the whole group here. RJ, Matt, and Nate here as well. So welcome back to the show. We should be hearing from GT South. They have not called in yet, but at some point we will. Church was in the chat room. Carson, who was getting his Oculus Rift maybe this week. He said he was in the first batch. So I don't know how many they're going to be sending out or how this is going to work. But he said, when was the last time I tested the Rift and what was my opinion? Last time I tested the Rift was probably at E3 of this past year, E3 2015. Was likely the last time I tested that. I was at PAX Prime. Did I test it? Oh no! I'm sorry. PAX Prime would have been when I played it last. That was the last time I had a chance with the Rift. Was at PAX Prime. At PAX South, I did not play any VR except for the Vive.
Because you've already done the Rift.
I had done the Rift, but they didn't have. Trust me, the Rift was not as prevalent as it was. Previously,
is it because it's so close to coming out and people
maybe you know
in...
it could be that it could be just the fact of well that's probably exactly what it was. Yeah, also, CES was not very far from when PAX Prime was out or PAX South was, so more than likely they just didn't deem that as anything to be it. There were demo stations that had the Rift available, but it wasn't Rift branded. It was like AMD was showing off their hardware, but they also had Rift stuff there, so you could see whatever NVIDIA stuff like that had Rift stations where you could use the
because between DevKit 1 and 2, you know, people have had the Rift for a while, so I would understand why they'd be more interested in the newer stuff that they haven't quite gotten their hands on yet.
Carson says, "I'd love to hear your Rift first." Carson, why don't you call in? I'm going to give you the number in the chat room here: 272-9228. Call in. We'll have a nice discussion about that. Let's go to the phones now and talk to W. Matthew. Hey, man.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good. How's it going with you guys?
Yeah, we're doing all right. Good. Doing good. What's on your mind this week?
I guess we should start. I was going to call in last week, but something came up. The thing I was going to talk about last week, because it was kind of the big story of the week and still relevant, is CPS 4.5.
Oh, the PS 4K, the PlayStation 4K. We were going to talk about that, and I guess time got away from us or something, because we had a discussion about it off air.
Yes.
Before the show had started,
we did talk about it.
I think we brushed on it, just in a sense of because obviously we've had a lot more, you know, in the week now since last week's show. I think it's been pretty much confirmed, hasn't it?
Yeah. They already revealed the price.
Oh, really? I didn't even know.
And I think
what do we know? What do we know there, W. Matthew?
I'm gonna say there's no official confirmation. It just a bunch of sites said, yeah, our sources verified that this thing is real. The thing that's interesting about it is it sort of acknowledges, and especially with the Phil Spencer stuff a couple weeks before, it sort of acknowledges that both Sony and Microsoft cut on the very cheap end of the hardware spectrum, and it seems like a bunch of developers are pushing this, not so much consumers.
What is the, you said a price had already been revealed, Nate? Or at least maybe a price had been speculated or guessed?
Well, YouTube channel No. The No revealed that it was...
Oh, yeah, Rooster Teeth's channel.
Yeah, it was coming out holiday 2016, and it was going to be $399.
Really? Only $400? Well, I guess... I don't know what the current... I think the current one's going for $300, so that'll be just $100 bucks extra.
It's $350 with a game currently.
But I bet by then they may have a knockoff on that. They may knock about $50 off of that or something like that.
But also, it's sort of worth acknowledging the PS4 and Xbox One are rather weak, and they're not just weak in the traditional sense. They may be x86, but the way developers have to build for them is a bit weird. So I'm not surprised that there was a lot of push from developers to get better hardware.
Is this... We haven't really seen anything. We've seen form factor change. We've seen parts here and there change as far as what's being used in the.
The closest example to this would be what Nintendo has done with the new 3DS and some of the later models of the original DS.
I would agree with you on that. Where it's not necessarily anything that is. The 2DS to 3DS, they basically, you could still play it as a 2DS as a DS.
I'm talking about the thing, the original DS had I forget what it was called, but it had a slightly more powerful version of it released in a later year. Mm-hmm. Just like the new 3DS.
Was it the DSi?
Yes, it was the DSi.
I still have my DSi. I tried to trade it in. I could get $5 for it.
It's worth keeping at that point.
but it sort of goes down that sort of interesting rabbit hole of, I think this really is developers saying we need better hardware. Because this generation, unlike past generations, I have never heard so many developers so publicly sort of complain about the weaknesses of the hardware as much as they have in this generation.
I guess I haven't been paying attention. I mean, I've heard in comparison when developers are talking about developing for a game for the PS4 and developing a game for the Xbox One, I've heard comparisons there, but I've never outright heard a complaint. And this is not saying that they don't exist, just that I haven't read any.
The real problem that seems to be, for what I've been able to gather from talking with developers, is that the PS4 and Xbox One use an 8-core, 1.6 gigahertz CPU. So basically a lot of threads, it can do a lot of things at the same time, but it's very slow at doing that. Compare that to your home computer, which is a 4-core around 3 gigahertz. So fewer things at once, but they can do them faster.
The thing that we had talked about off air last week was how they would market this. Would they call it the 4.5? And I said, my guess on that was that no way they would ever call it.
They should
a 4.5. They would call it the PS4K, something in that regards. Because if you do
4.5, that will get people buying it who probably don't need it.
Well, not even that. It would just. I don't know. Do we know? There's a lot we don't know. Would they stop production on the others?
I'd imagine over time, yes, but not right away. As far as we can tell, it is a PS4 with a better CPU and a better GPU. So it would be like buying a better computer. Mm-hmm. Like, that seems to be what it is. It's, here's a better CPU, better GPU, maybe a bigger hard drive.
I was going to say hard drive would be nice if they upgraded that too.
But we know it, and hopefully there's some better components, like, basically, those consoles have been caught using a SATA 2 instead of SATA 3 cable and that sort of thing. So hopefully they'll get some of that other stuff improved as well. But it will be a better thing. It will be an outright objectively better thing.
Yeah, and expect your local game stores to run deals on trading in your old PS4 to get a PS4K.
I'd consider it.
Yeah, you know, That's a possible thing. I mean, again, I'd like to know what the price is. I know that this place has whatever the link you posted.
Every indication and a lot of rumors suggest 400.
Okay.
So I will go, like, I would say this, though, and this kind of sort of fits in that weird situation. It's like, do you care about Sony first party? If not, like, and you already have a good PC, who cares?
Yeah, there's always the PC aspect of things. I understand that. That's something I always try to remove from the equation when I'm talking about consoles, because I really just want to compare those. I think it's a...
Okay, if you don't have a gaming PC, the 4.5 will be better than the PS4. Straight up in every regard. And my guess is developers, because since they're the ones pushing this, are probably going to start targeting games at the 4.5, which means they're going to run even worse than they do now.
Well, that's my question, is if they start developing for the 4.5, then...
In that video, it says all the games upscale.
Okay.
From 1080 to 4K.
But devs are gonna say, well, we don't care about that. We just want to use the extra processing power and extra GPU to get better graphics and whatnot from our games. Which means, yes, you can run them on the PS4, but they'll probably run like garbage. That being said, if you've ever watched Digital Foundry, Unity games already run pretty badly because Unity's not really good at multi-threading. But that is an aside to all of this. It's going to be a situation where I really think it's going to be like the older iPhones to the newer iPhones. Like, yes, your apps can run, but they're not going to run very well on the older stuff.
That'll be interesting.
There's no way they would develop just for the 4K. I mean, they may be able to take advantage of it, but...
Yes, they will release it on the PS4, but it won't run very well, is what I'm saying. Their new target is going to be the PS4.5, almost certainly, because that's why developers want it. Again, developers are the ones pushing it because they want more wiggle room to develop on and not be as constrained as they are currently.
I would say the biggest notices you would see is if it's a Sony exclusive, and then they would build around it of having like two different versions.
Mm-hmm.
I still think even for third-party games are going to run better on the PS4. Forget everything else. They may look the same, but they will run better on the PS4.5 than they will on the PS4.
I guess. I mean, it all depends on how they develop for them, I would think, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it all depends on... And is it... God, I don't know. It shouldn't be more expensive to develop for the 4K than it would be for just the 4,
no,
right?
No.
There wouldn't be any difference.
But what I'm sort of getting in and sort of talking about, let's assume the only changes that are in the PS4.5 is that it is the same CPU, but faster, the same GPU, but faster. Objectively speaking, with almost no work, every game that comes out on the PS4 will literally run better on the PS4.5, which means developers are going to take advantage of that, and no matter what happens, you will always get the better experience on the PS4.5, straight up.
Yeah, I could see that.
Well, yeah, no, yeah, putting that into the PC perspective, whenever you upgrade your computer, you go back to your most favorite game to run and say, okay, let's see how much better this looks or plays or whatever, which obviously, because it's got the processing power to do that with. So I can understand that as well. And I guess because just for the fact that these will be newer components regardless of everything else that they put in, that your game is going to run not only better but probably faster. The load times, things like that, will probably go faster, I suppose.
Would also be nice if games eventually started giving you the option, like remastered version of The Last of Us, where you can choose less FPS, better detail,
or
vice versa.
I do that forever.
And you get that option. Mm-hmm. If you have the PS4K, now you have that option. You can switch between back and forth, would be nice.
Yeah. I would also sort of, I guess, point this. It's like, if there are a lot of people that are annoyed at this, I will put in context, if they do not do a PS4.5, if they do not do a stopgap of some kind that is marginally better, we would be getting a completely new console in 2017 to 2018. The consoles are falling way too far behind, way too fast. if they don't do a PS4.5, you'd be going at a whole new console with probably very little backwards compatibility. So this is the better of the two options, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree that it is. This will be interesting to see how Sony handles this, because they will have, again, thinking that this is going to release this holiday season, basically, they will have two SKUs on the market. Obviously, one is more powerful and more expensive. The other one, less powerful and not as expensive, makes me wonder how sales are going to affect this. Obviously, they're going to have to... I don't know. They've got to figure out a way to well, I guess they don't have to figure out a way if the games that they... Go ahead.
Honestly, my guess is how they're gonna leapfrog, and they're probably gonna release a new one of these or a revision every 2 years and do what the iPhone stuff does, which is iPhone 5 and iPhone 6 stuff will run on iPhone 5 and iPhone 6 stuff basically runs on iPhone 6 and iPhone 7 stuff run on iPhone 7. iPhone 5 and iPhone 6 is iPhone 6, and they're just going to go every other. You basically get one generation back in terms of support, would be my guess. So they're just going to leapfrog. So everything you buy now will run on the PS4.5. But
maybe not the PS5?
Or PS4.7, whatever. I honestly think the reason they're doing this is both partly licensing and partly architectural. They don't want to have that clear separate. They want to pretty much keep everything running on future systems while also increasing power. And if you get, for example, if you get whatever comes after the PS4.5, it won't run on the PS4, but it'll run on the PS4.5. So it'll stay like, so long as you're within a jump, you'll be able to run it, but you won't be able to run it before then.
Mm-hmm. I think I understand what you're saying. Five games for 5 won't run on 4, but they will run on 4.5 and 5.5. Games for 6 won't run on 5, but they'll run for 5.5 and 6.
Yep.
That sort of situation. I think
that's what mobile phones do now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they'll do exactly that.
Yeah. Well, anything else that you wanted to cover this week?
I guess in sort of the last. Or this is a couple of weeks now, but I think it's sort of worth mentioning, open beta for Overwatch is early May.
Overwatch is the Blizzard one?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Battleborn's the other one. Battleborn and Overwatch, I keep getting the two confused. I shouldn't,
I would straight up say this. Overwatch is the first FPS I have been excited for in quite literally years.
Why are you excited for it?
I got to play it at PAX East a year ago, so I actually got to play it. It plays so different from every other FPS. It does stuff so differently. It plays differently. It flows differently.
Why
does
it play? I guess I need to play it. I need to get in on a...
For example, every character has a movement ability, but every one of those movement abilities are different. One has a grappling hook, one has a jetpack, one gets to sort of jump and run on walls. It's sort of all different.
I have not paid attention to this game since they did the big reveal ever how many years ago and showed off that trailer that just gave me an idea that it was TF2.
I would say like.
I know. No. I'm not saying that that's what it is. I'm just saying I haven't looked at it since then, so that's where my head's been.
Well, real quick, just to jump on as well, you've talked about this before, and Blizzard did it perfect of the way they've been releasing it to let people test it, to where once it hits public, I mean, pretty much all of the, not just bugs, but then the balancing bugs have been all.
Yeah, but if you want to, I mean, honestly, I still say my better comparison is still Quake. To be honest, it's much faster. It has things like rocket jumping, and it's faster. Where TF2 is a relatively slow shooter, like this is very fast.
Does this have an Unreal vibe to it? Unreal Tournament.
I'd say closer to Quake than Unreal.
Yeah.
To be honest. But that's the interesting, like that's sort of the interesting thing. It's like they're releasing this for consoles, and I'm like, I could never play this on controller. It's too fast. As a game, it just feels too fast. And apparently I was speaking to one of the I made a comment in a Twitch chat with one of the GameSpot guys, and he said, yeah, we actually had one of our people go to Blizzard last week and look at it, and there's a feature coming up, and let's just say you're right. It doesn't seem to play all that well with a controller because of its speed.
Hmm. Yeah, I can believe that. The last week or so, I've been watching a bunch of streamers playing it, because I've been getting more and more interested as it's been coming closer. It's definitely more of a Quake vibe, I would agree.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't played
$4 on PC.
I never played Quake on the multiplayer side of things.
I'm so sorry.
I know. I never did that. I tried Unreal Tournament when the original Xbox had like Unreal Tournament 2004 or something on it.
Yeah.
And I hated that. I was like, whoa, this is not. I was coming from Halo, and then there was this thing that was just on some kind of speed demon thing of multiplayer. It did not click for me. So
then you probably won't like this either.
I know, but I still will play it.
Fast.
I'll still play it just to give it a shot, obviously, but my head right now is thinking that I'm probably not going to like it. I do enjoy when I'm surprised by these things, because I have been before. W. Matthew, we appreciate you calling in, and hope to hear from you next week.
Yep.
Take care. Let's go to the next line, who we have Carson on the phone with us. Church, who was in the chat room, told him to call in because he wanted to talk Oculus Rift stuff. And first off, congratulations on getting your Oculus pre-order, and I guess getting your Oculus in possibly this week. Do you know? Did they give you any kind of shipping notification?
So the reason I got it this week is kind of a little interesting.
Yeah.
I actually didn't get into the first shipment week. Mine was supposed to come in July. And I was like, I'm not going to wait until freaking July to get my Oculus. Like, everybody's going to have one. It's going to take forever. And I was itching for one, but I didn't get the chance to actually pre-order one. I just didn't want to spend the money when it was first announced.
Yeah.
And so I actually went on eBay and paid $300 extra to get it the first week.
Wow!
Ooh. All right, you're gonna write this off on your business expense, aren't you?
That would be hilarious. I wish I could, but no, I just have been really itching for one. I mean, ever since
you do drone photography, don't you?
I do. I mean, I have my main business is video production. I just make commercials for companies, but drones are one thing. Yeah.
Not that I could think of any way you could tie that in to write it off as a business expense, but I'm sure there is something that exists there for you.
I probably could, if I really wanted to, hook the Oculus to my head and work it with my drone, so wherever I look, camera looks. I probably could do that.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah, that's a nice little feature.
There are some different drone goggle type things that do that, and it's pretty cool. So, I probably could find a way to make it a business expense. However,
so let me ask you, since you brought money into this, what did you pay?
I paid $950.
Okay, so that you could have one the first week.
I heard a little bit.
Made Nate choke a bit.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Here's my whole opinion on it. I'm the kind of guy who. I hate waiting. I'm really impatient. It's
dude,
bad.
I am. I remember growing up on my street. Like the kids on the street would always come over to my place because I was always the one getting the new stuff first. And for the most part, that disease never actually was cured in me. I was still. I still do that from time to time. VR is not going to be the case just for the fact of the money involved in that. But yeah, I didn't like waiting. I wanted it as soon as it was out so that I could be the first to be playing it and that sort of thing. So I understand. I want to be right there with you. I just don't want to spend $900 to do it.
Yes, and I was less concerned about being the first to do it, and I just didn't want to be the last to do it. And so, because in July, I mean, like by the time I was like, yeah, I'm really wanting to get one now.
Mm-hmm.
It was like end of July is when I was going to get one. I was like, man, that is like 5 months, 4 months. Like I would have to wait, and I really didn't want to. So all that aside, though, the last time I tested one was the CES either 2015 2013 or 2014. I forget which one it was, but it was the Crystal.
Were you using the Crescent Bay?
Or the Crescent Bay.
Yeah, Crescent Bay version. Yeah. It's weird. I never did a Kickstarter for these things, but I swear I've tested every iteration of the thing from all the gaming conventions that I've gone to for E3 and PAX and stuff like that. I have tested countless times different versions of the Rift, and obviously they have gotten better and better and better as they've released. I actually got a chance to test out the touch controls for the Rift at the previous E3 that I've been to, and that was the first time I'd ever had... I'd ever tested any of those. I know Vive had theirs out at the time, but I had not had any chance to use those. And my experience with the Oculus Rift and the Touch to go along with it was, again, it was another point of, I really want one of these things so badly. It was so much fun to play in. And when I finally got to try the Vive with the same situation, that feeling was still there, was that having a way to control this stuff, if you're going to have this kind of movement and environment that you're going to put me in, it needs what they're doing. And there's a lot of potential with the things they can give us in using that. There's still a lot of stuff to be said just for sitting down with a controller in your hand and playing with a headset. So, you know, there's still that.
And that's the thing, is the Oculus can do all the room VR stuff. They've come out and said that. They just don't really push it like the Vive does. So that's kind of why I chose to go with the Oculus over the Vive, because they're so identical.
And the fact that you spent $950 on it.
Yeah. They're so identical. The Oculus comes out earlier. The Oculus has been in development publicly longer, and actually I think longer in general as well. So there's more content created for it. They've paid substantial amounts of money to different developers to make custom things for the Oculus.
Mm-hmm.
It made more sense for me to go with the Rift than the Vive. Even though, yes, it's going to be cool, you can use the Vive. I mean, I'm sure they're going to have all sorts of great stuff, but I just felt like the Oculus, and I felt because we've met Palmer, and because, I don't know, we've kind of been part of their development for years, like even when we went to E3 together, yep. I felt like I would be like betraying people that I've met.
No, never feel that way, man. I get that, you know, naughty dog, that sort of thing. I totally get that. But, the Vive versus Rift situation, I don't even feel exists, or at least does. I mean, I'm sure it does for them and as a company. But for me, if somebody comes and tells me that, hey, I'm picking up the Rift over the Vive, I don't give them any flack for it. I'm like, oh, you just want to go for the Rift over the Vive. That's fine.
Exactly.
They're so close to together that that there's just not a situation where I can give them the benefit of the doubt of going that way or not. There's really no at the current time, I guess I could say, hey, one comes with touch controls, the other one won't until much later. So maybe you're up for that, maybe you're not.
Well, here's my other thing. I have the Leap Motion. And so, have you seen that?
I have seen that. That uses your own hands to do a controller type thing.
I bought that. I think I helped be like a part of the beginning of that. I bought that the first thing it came out. And so it was like kind of finicky at the beginning, and I was like, oh, why did I buy this thing? I'm just going to put it back in. I'm like, I played with it for a week, put it back in its box, and I just couldn't find a reason to use it other than to play, like, Fruit Ninja, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now that they've released their Orion update, it's just outstanding how incredible the technology has become, how well it recognizes your hands,
yeah,
and how much you can do with it in VR. So the touch controllers don't even make sense to me anymore because I have that.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know, I haven't used Leap Motion, so the touch stuff was really, really cool, and I hope you get a chance to demo some of that whenever you can, or whenever you get the chance. But no, I don't knock you for going Rift over Vive. I wouldn't knock anybody else for going Vive over Rift. I really wouldn't, not even as a point of price comparison, only for the fact that they're close, they're not too close, but they are close. They're like a difference of $150 to $200 difference there, but this doesn't feel like a PS4 versus or a Sony versus Microsoft situation. It really doesn't to me. To them, I'm sure it does. To the company itself, I'm sure it is a big deal to do for them. To me, Right now, it doesn't look like it looks like there's very few exclusives, and even of that, we don't really know. You know, nobody's laid any kind of stake in the ground of having specific third party developers only develop for them, or first party developers, and some, you know, massive killer app type situation.
I think it's going to end up that way, though.
Yeah.
More so because of Oculus than because of HTC and Steam. And Valve, I guess I should say.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, so there was an AMA on the Oculus Rift subreddit.
Mm-hmm.
And Palmer was on there asking questions. And the top question, which he didn't answer, was, he was like saying he'll answer as many questions as he can. He didn't answer the most upvoted question. It was, okay, so why are we not developing any games together? I mean, like, what's the reason behind the fact that they're not making both of these platforms work with the same games? Like, why are you making it more exclusive and stuff like that? And, of course, he didn't answer that, because I'm sure Facebook doesn't want that. I know that the Oculus, all of that, they're paying certain developers money to develop games for them. And there were some developers who were, like, trying to be snarky about it and say, like, oh, they're not letting us make it for the Vive, and they're kind of being weird about it. Well, it's like, no, they paid you money, so you would develop it for the Rift. Like, they're the ones that funded you in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know there is some development going on that is going to be only for the Oculus, and I know there's going to be stuff that's only for the Vive. They have to do that, or else they're going to get eaten alive.
I know, they're going to, yeah, exactly. Those will come. And there are very few that we have right now, and I think Lucky's Tale maybe. And what, maybe the Google Tilt Brush or something, maybe a Vive thing.
Sure.
I don't know. But those aren't going to be ones that are going to push people to go exclusive with that. Now if Rift signs a deal with the Eve guys or the Elite Dangerous guys, then there's a start, you know.
Yeah.
If Vive, you know, will Vive get the Valve games exclusivity, you know, then there's a thing. And it's quite possible they might.
And here's the tough part about it, though, is I can't see them not making it possible for the Oculus to be used in certain Valve games. Because mm-hmm. you can already use Oculus in a lot of Valve games.
You can, yeah.
Because they supported that. And I can see them maybe making it so Vive works better or has some unique features, but I still can't see Valve making it so the Oculus doesn't work, because I think it'll piss off a lot of people. So they're kind of in a tough situation, because they don't want to make people frustrated, but they also want to sell a product that makes a lot of money. And the whole reason I'm buying my Oculus, I mean, yes, I do want to play the VR games because they're cool, but I want to play them with games I already own, like War Thunder, Arma, and Elite Dangerous, and all those games like that, where the immersion just makes it, you know. But so it's kind of an interesting situation for them to be in, because I want to see how it plays out. I don't want it to be, well, I don't know how it's going to be out, but I think it would be okay if it was like a PlayStation, like a Sony versus Microsoft thing, because it does make it better for the player.
I think it'll eventually become that, but they just really haven't established themselves just yet.
Yeah.
And I think that will be your thing. It'll always be your Vive versus that. HoloLens, whatever, when that gets around, and that, and maybe, you know, then you've got the PSVR and that sort of thing to come in, and
yeah.
There's a lot of things VR that's on the horizon here, and to see how this whole thing is going to shape into something. Now, before we go, because we do have to go and take a break here, just, did you say you were getting it this week, or did you know?
It should be this week.
Well, when you get it in, make sure you call us on the next show and tell us how it's going. You do video production, so get some good video of you using it and everything else, and throw something up so we can all watch this thing in action, or at least
live vicariously through you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Get something like that. So, hey, Carson, we appreciate you calling in, man.
Yep, have a good one. See you later, guys.
Thank you so much. We got to take a break. We've got GT South on the line. Hopefully they can hang on as we go through this commercial break. We'll be right back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chats. That is music from Ill Bleed, I believe provided to us by RJ, more than likely.
Yep.
RJ here, I'm Scott. We also got Matt, Nate hanging out with us here in the chat room. Coming up this hour, well, coming up in just a minute, we're going to talk with GT South. Don't forget, we are going to open up this box from Loot Crate for Loot Pets, find out what's inside for this thing, and you need a camera to do that. Or to see it, anyway. Otherwise, we'll give as good a description as we can give over the radio as to what we're opening up and looking at here. So, I should probably turn the cameras on whenever I do this. Otherwise, that actually does nothing, does it? If I don't do something like that.
Yeah. One day we'll figure it out.
Nah, we won't. I'll keep screwing up. Basically, that's how it'll work.
It's part of the show's charm.
Yeah. Thank you, Jimmy the Saint, by the way, who's in the chat room screaming, "Cameras! Turn the cameras on!" Yeah.
He just likes seeing us.
I apologize for that. Let's go to the phones now and talk to GT South. Hey, this I believe we're talking to Chase.
No, this is Batman.
Hello, Batman.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Which Batman are we talking to? This sounds more like Bailman.
I'm sorry. Bit of a cold.
I tell you why this sounds more like Bailman is because Batfleck. I saw the movie Friday.
Wait, what?
Ben Affleck's Batman, you know.
Batfleck.
Yeah, the best way to differentiate other than calling him Ben Affleck's Batman, just call him Batfleck. We call him Bailman. And then there's Clooney, which we just don't really
reference.
We don't
call him or Kilmer.
Yeah, and then Keaton. So yeah. But I saw the movie. The Batfleck voice is by far, you know,
way better than.
Well, it's better than any of them since they started doing the voice stuff, which I guess they started with Bale doing that. Because Keaton didn't seem to change his voice, Kilmer didn't, and Clooney didn't. I don't think.
Conroy did.
Conroy did as well, yeah, I would say that, but
his is still the best.
His would still have to be the best with the biggest difference between a Bruce and a Batman. But the Batfleck voice is very, very good and understandable and distinguishable and doesn't sound forced and doesn't sound horrible at all. So,
and he hates boats.
Although, before we get off on a tangent here, we should talk about GT South. Tell us, Batman, what's going on at GT South tonight?
Well, tonight we have the MST3K event with the movie Super Friends.
So you're watching.
It's a bit of a big deal.
You're watching. You're watching Super Friend cartoons.
Yeah.
What do you? Okay.
And, it appears to be. It's okay in my book, but there's some changes that could be made.
So you're watching really. You're watching the Super Friends cartoon. Going to be MST3K. Heavy on this. RJ, have you ever been to one of these things when they do the MST3K stuff?
I can't recall, but if I do, remember the last one.
Do you participate when you do?
No.
Okay.
You just sit back and enjoy the show?
I didn't think so.
Just watch the festivities, man.
So that's tonight, and when is that going to get underway?
That should be getting underway about 9 o'clock. My Batwatch says yes, my Batwatch has confirmed it's about 9 o'clock.
The Batwatch.
Does the light go on?
It's like a watch, but with a bat.
Well, that just makes sense.
What's going on? What's going on for the upcoming week?
Well, for next Friday, very excited. Star Wars Appreciation Day. We've got some special Star Wars guests showing up. It's going to be fantastic.
Next Friday.
And the Batman.
Yeah.
With a lightsaber.
You should go. What do you got going on next Friday, Matt?
Working.
Oh. Matt, one of the guys in here, has three full-on costumes from Star Wars. Was Stormtrooper.
A Republic Commando and a TIE Pilot.
Yeah,
and
a TIE Pilot. Yeah. So, yeah, he's, but he cannot join you on Friday the, what day is that? Is that the 1st?
Yeah.
April Fool's Day?
I believe so.
Interesting.
It is.
I wonder if they're going to pull something over us and be like, oh, it's a Star Wars.
Star Trek.
But it's Star Trek. Yeah, April Fools. That actually would be pretty good. You've also.
I have been assured no shenanigans will be taking place.
Okay, shenanigans will be taking place.
No shenanigans.
Oh, no shenanigans will be taking. Well, it's April Fool's. There should be.
Well, the reason being is possibly a year ago, I was informed that they might have turned it into a sports bar, and they're still trying to make up for it.
I heard about that.
Yeah,
it was going to be called, they turned the GT into something else, didn't they? They turned it into,
I think I still got the video somewhere on my computer.
Game Town or something.
Yeah,
I don't know what it's
like
called.
That. I still have the video on my computer. It was a elaborate prank that some people fell for completely. I mean, the look of, one of my friends, the look of disappointment on his face when he came through the door was priceless. But yeah, I'm going to have to look for that video now. I've still got it somewhere. I will. I'll look for that. Bring it to you.
Yeah, they tried to turn it into an actual sports bar. So that's going on Friday. What's going on Saturday, next Saturday?
That next Saturday is going to be the 4th annual Cake is Not a Lie competition. I'm very much looking forward to having to go to the gym and working off all that pie, cakey pie.
Pie, cakey pie. All right.
Competition where you bring in cake, and it should be delicious. If it's not, you get kicked out.
Okay. No, I'm good for that.
Yeah.
Those some good looking cakes at the last one I went to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll turn up for that. Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome.
You gonna bring a cake?
I'm not gonna bring a cake because I don't cook any. I mean, I'll go pick up a cake baking from a store. but I don't. No, I don't cook at all whatsoever. All right. Well, that's great. And where are you guys located?
We're still located off of Eastern Boulevard. By, I believe, a Walmart, not a Batmart, unfortunately. Rose is just behind the Longhorn, which has a mace.
Any special code this week?
Tell him Batman sent you, or Ben Affleck. Either one should get you 50% off appetizer.
There you go. Tell him Batman or Batfleck sent you, and you'll get 50% off your appetizer if you go to GT South tonight. And I do want to say this, by the way. DG South is open for lunch. You're open for lunch, what is it, Tuesday through Friday?
Tuesday through Friday, correct. Open from 11:30 to 2.
For lunch. So you're looking for a quick lunch, go by there. You can, maybe get in a quick game of something while you're there having lunch. And then, go back there that night and have a great time with all the folks that show up. And I also wanted to say thank you to GT South for sponsoring this show. You are specifically sponsoring this show. People who are local, please support it would mean a great deal to us if you would please support our sponsors and head out there and just see the place. If you've never been and you're interested in gaming, just go out there. Take a look at the place and have a good time. They've got karaoke going on out there. They've got board games. They got Jenga. That was always popular. They've got Cards Against Humanity that you can play. There's always fighting games going on where you can play something there.
They have drinks.
And they have drinks. And it's really a lot of fun. So we encourage you, if you are local, to head over there and please support them as much as you can, GT South. Batman, thank you so much for calling in and talking to us.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a fantastic night.
All right. We'll see you tonight.
I would say even if you aren't local, come visit us in Montgomery and go to GT's house.
I mean, yeah, if you're ever in the area, why not? Let's go to Chris. Hey, Chris, thanks for calling in.
What's going on, y'all?
Not much.
Just
what's going
talking
on with
to
you?
Batman.
We just got done talking to Batman.
I feel so honored.
Yeah, but I went by Retro Game Plant today and found something over there and got convinced about buying Salt and Sanctuary on PlayStation 4, so it's downloading. And in the meantime, have either of y'all played the Dragon Fantasy Book 2 that was on PlayStation 3 and Vita?
No.
Well, I found out that they remade Book 2 on the PlayStation 4, and if you've bought it in the past, it's free.
Oh, nice.
Wow, great.
Free is always good.
Yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm.
So, hey, Chris, have you ever been out to GT South?
I have once a long time ago before they went to a tavern, I believe it's, when they were just selling video games, but since... Mm-hmm. That and not recently.
Oh, make sure when you get a chance that you go out there and have a good time and visit the place and mention you heard about it on in-game chat, even though you didn't.
And tell them Batman sent you.
Tell them Batman sent you. Get you a nice little discount on your appetizers. Thanks for calling in, Chris.
Oh, well, how was the movie? Was it pretty good?
I wanted to talk about... What that was. I wanted to talk about it. Matt, you've seen it, right?
I saw it.
Me and Matt have both seen it, but RJ has not, and Nate hasn't seen it. So I don't necessarily know that we're going to talk about it this week, and probably it'd be best to talk about it next week anyway, to give more people time to have seen the movie and then talk about it. So I might drop in some initial impressions here that are not very spoilery.
I can say how I felt about it without spoiling anything.
Yeah, but even that, I don't want to do too much, because I think people's opinions are already probably skewed a certain way after all of those reviews, and I don't necessarily want to either add to that or even, you know, try and take away from it, because that just leads to more confusion. I'd rather just people go see it and figure out what they think about it, and it's fine, whatever you think about it, honestly. But yeah, we might touch on it. Did you get a chance to see it, Chris?
I'm planning on going and seeing it sometime.
Okay, see, again, why we haven't talked about it. Just give more time for people to see it. Plus, if Nate goes and sees it and RJ goes to see it by the time we have the next episode, then we can probably get into some spoiler talk while we're at it. Certainly worth a little bit of spoiler talk.
I thought you said sport talk. I was like, all right, let's do that.
So, but anyway, thanks for calling, Chris.
All right, y'all have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
And we got Mumnut on the line. Hey, Mumnut.
Hey, I've been told I'm loco.
That you're loco? You're local. Yeah. Not loco, local.
Well, anyway. Hey, is it RJ that wants to play Ark?
No, I don't think no.
It's me.
It's Nate who plays Ark.
Yeah, I've been trying to play. Can I plug another website for gaming community?
Sure,
I guess.
Yeah, purplefrogglobal.com.
Okay.
They have all sorts of games. We're in TeamSpeak stuff.
Okay.
And an Ark server.
Oh, it's got an Ark server? All right.
Yeah.
And what's the name of it again? Purple what?
Purple Frog Global.
Purplefrogglobal.com. All right.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Ubering. I'm very bored.
Oh, yeah. Mumnut is Ubering. If you're going to be in the Montgomery area, you want to get an Uber over to GT South, why not?
Yeah, there you go. No, hey, Zach, where was that again now?
GT South? It's over. It's over by Longhorn, across the street from Stivers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where the old Bed Breakfast and Montgomery Mall. Montgomery Mall?
Yes.
Yeah, near the Montgomery Town Center.
Yeah, where the Windsong Theater used to be, if you've been around that long.
Yeah. Hey, Putt-Putt? I remember Putt-Putt over there.
I don't remember. Oh, God, I do remember Putt-Putt over there. That's going way back. Yeah, it was...
Yep. It was Looney's, wasn't it?
It was by Looney's, yeah. Jesus. All right. Well, Mumnut, thanks for calling in, man.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And who do we have? Right, it's not written up there.
Oh, I don't know why it's not put. It's Alpha 1.
Alpha 1?
Yes.
Hello, Alpha. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Hello, Alpha 1.
It's me.
Hello.
It's the first time I've ever called into your show.
Well, hey, thanks for calling. Woo! Where are you calling from?
Party.
Well, I'm calling from the front seat of my vehicle at the moment.
No, I meant where are you? What's your
name? I'm in at the moment.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, man.
We know.
Hey, I had two questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
One is more of a is there anything concrete, and the other is more of an opinion question.
Okay.
Is Skyrim ever going to be ported over to the Xbox One as a playable game?
It will not. I don't believe it'll be ported. I believe it'll have backwards compatibility, maybe, if that's what you're
saying. That's what I meant. I'm sorry. Wrong terminology.
Yeah. No, I think it'll get backwards compatibility likely at some point. They seem to be moving. And Skyrim was a very popular game, so I believe it'll easily have some backward compatibility if it doesn't already.
That's the one thing I'm waiting on.
But I think, I think it'll get there. Easily, I think it'll get there.
The opinion question is, and I've been out of the loop for a while as I've been console gaming since 2006, kind of quit PC gaming for a while, but my 13-year-old son is looking to acquire like a starter-level gaming PC, and I was wondering if you guys had any advice on how to maybe point him in the right direction of what would be a good, either something that's pre-built and not too terrible on price, or a good smart strategy for building the first computer for himself. I mean,
well, if you're going pre-built, you'll easily be able to find, the configurations. Like when you go to, I think, who is it that does those Origin PC? I think does pre-build systems.
Yeah.
I mean, Alienware does too, but I would say avoid
those
them
because
you're paying a premium. Name. They're like Monster cables, but for PC.
Yeah.
A little bit overpriced for a name on your box. So Origin PC does that, and I think Dell may do some stuff like there where you can where it has your entry level stuff as far as how you would build one or how they will build one for you, and you can go that route. If you, and the one I would recommend is to do it yourself.
Yes, definitely build it yourself. And, like, you know, that could be an experience both you and your son could have together.
Mm-hmm. Right. Know? Like, my dad and I worked on cars and stuff together. And
yeah, exactly. Only this
I don't do that much these days because everything's computerized.
Yeah.
Is there a gaming laptop that exists in a $1,200 to $1,500 range that's worth owning? I mean,
I know Alienware has a gaming laptop.
I really
laptop.
Recommend MSI lab gaming laptops.
Okay.
They're super good with cooling, and they have a lot of them now are running dual graphics cards in them. But you can get them around. Now, I mean, it kills battery life, but.
But I mean, just plug it in.
Yeah, but you can get those from anywhere from 15, 17, somewhere around there. But I know a couple of people that have MSI gaming laptops, and they really like them.
Well, I will look into that. Thanks, guys, for the advice.
Yeah,
no problem. Thank you for calling.
All right, man. Have a great week.
You too, man.
I'm always for building your own computer.
I am too, but
ever since I started computing.
But given that that's a deterrent for some people, where it's I'm not sure, or maybe they're giving suggestions for somebody else, saying, okay, because there are some pre-builts that really aren't that bad. I agree with you in the same way that I would just much prefer to do that. So
it just you get to know more about your system, you get more input on, like, you know, what you want in it because it's what you pick out, and it's just kind of fun to be able
Multal
to
Multal says that I would say build it. It's much easier nowadays and cheaper. I would agree with you there, but convincing somebody that building a PC is easier than it used to be is a little bit tough.
Well, I mean, when you built your first one, you know, you were kind of like hesitant in a way, weren't you?
I was very hesitant, and I had all you guys over there.
But now you're like,
giving me all the encouragement in the world. but then I built my own by myself.
And you feel
I
like you've
one,
accomplished something.
Nobody was there, and I built one completely by myself. And the way I did that was I used YouTube.
How old were you?
Yeah.
How old was I? That was
a few years ago.
Yeah, it wasn't very long ago. Okay.
Well, I didn't know if we were talking like back in the 90s.
No, this is just a few
early
years
2000s.
Ago.
Yeah, this would be just a few years back, 2010, 2012 maybe, when I did that build. So, and I used YouTube to show me how to do it. And
I was 16 when I built my first, so if me at 16 can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah.
You say that, man, but sometimes it's that's a scary thought.
Here's the real thing.
For some people.
I think the day that you overclock something will be the day everyone can build a PC.
Yeah. I would agree
with you. I'll say
that. I would agree with you. Even though the same rule applies, it's easier today to overclock stuff than
back
was
in the day.
Yeah. So, which is why I say that it's very hard to still convince people that building a PC is easier today than it was, because it's hard to convince me that overclocking today is easier than it used to be.
Yes.
Even though it actually is. I understand that it is, but...
Well, the main thing that scared people of overclocking is, oh, I'm going to destroy my computer. You really can't do that nowadays.
I know.
You can't overclock.
But I still just haven't gone in and done any of that. Yet,
unless you just don't run a... But you can't even burn your CPU really anymore, because your motherboards will shut it off before anything happens, so... Mm-hmm. You should really dabble with that someday.
I will, and we have to take another break. I probably won't, and we'll be back. We'll open up this loot crate box when we come back. We got Battlefield 2 here, music, and we'll be right back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Killer Instinct. I'm Scott. We've got RJ, Matt, and Nate hanging out here in the show. Going to open up this loot crate box.
Every time I hear that intro with the gong, I always think, test your might.
No, I don't think we have that. We should probably put that in there. Probably
but I mean, that just, I just expect to hear test your might.
Put in a more, they did a nice little thing for St. Patrick's Day. Mortal Kombat X did.
Oh, yeah?
I can't remember what it was, but yeah, they did some stuff there.
If you could fight, like, their next character should be, like, the Leprechaun from, like, Leprechaun in Space. Like, you know, Warwick David's character.
So we got this box from Loot Pets.
Thank you.
Yeah, Loot Crate, basically, but it's their pet version of this stuff. When they sent us the whole thing of, like, hey, what would you like? I just marked everything because I said, sure, let's get it all in. Who knows? There could be some really awesome stuff from this that people could want. And this is basically going to be the unboxing for this.
You know what's sad is I think I'm more excited for this than the other ones.
It's because we don't know what to expect. I have no idea what we're going to have in here.
Well, it's just I like pets.
Yeah. So here we go. We're going to open this up.
Should be a drum roll.
It's very, it's superhero related.
Do you get a little, like, doggy cape?
Possibly. You have Rough 'em Ups, Fruity Protein Puffs for Pups.
Fruity Protein.
I could see you doing a commercial for that.
Wait. Fruity Protein.
That's what it says.
How they know?
I don't know.
They ate it.
It's in the... they made it. There's instructions on how to feed it.
Oh, you have to have instructions to feed it?
Provide one treat per 5 pound of dog's weight per day. Feed as a treat, not as a replacement for food. Fresh drinking water should always be available for your dog. Show these treats who's boss. Apple and chicken blend together for a 100% corn-free and soy-free snack that's made in the USA and tastes powerfully delicious.
Let's try it.
Again, how do they know?
Do you want to try it? I'll open this up if you'll eat one.
I'll eat one if you eat one.
Oh. Matt, I'll do it. I'll open this up if you want to eat one.
It wouldn't be the first time I've had a dog treat.
I mean, I've had dog food before. It was made in a cookie.
Yeah. As a prank?
My parents...
No, like, they were Oreos. It was peanut butter flavored.
My parents tell me that I ate dog food as a kid. That and the little bugs that rolled into a ball, roly-poly.
Yeah.
I remember when I was little, we went to the museum, and they sold, like, the lollipops with ants in them. I had that.
We have more treats.
Is it like the ones with scorpions in it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. I think I remember those.
We have
that drink with the worm in it?
No, I never tried that one.
Turduckenstein.
What?
What?
Menacing meat treats for dogs.
In case you missed it, we are opening up a loot crate.
For
sent
animals.
To us by loot crate. For, but this is the pet version.
This is the pet version.
And it's for things that...
I like how, like, the little dogs have, I mean, like, the pictures of the dog has cape, is a little superhero dog.
Yeah, I'll show you the inside of the box when I get done here. But there you go, Turduckenstein.
I want to take these home from my...
These turkey and duck meat treats want to challenge you to a snackdown smackdown. Turduckenstein nibbles are grain-free, 100% natural, and made in the good old U.S. of A.
I don't think you're emphasizing that enough, that they have labeled at the top of the packaging that they are made in the USA.
Yes.
To make America great again.
We have a chew toy that is... Batman. Batman.
Oh, it's armored Batman.
Chew toy.
I am Batman. It's actually really cool.
Do you wolf? You will.
That was horrible. Matt. Matt.
All right, mute his mic.
Matt.
He's done.
He'll make more.
Matt.
Keep listening. He'll make more.
Unscripts RJ's mic.
Keep waiting.
This is great radio.
I know. It's this is the armored
Batman.
You hear a
bag crumbling in the background.
It's a chew toy. Well, maybe then they'll get a
watch us on Twitch. What's that?
It's a disposable pet bowl.
Huh. For Civil War.
Disposable pet bowl.
I have no idea.
Sounds like a collector.
Maybe I guess if you're out like at the park or something, you need a quick bowl for your pet.
I guess so. Civil War on this side, and then Captain and Iron Man on that side.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Doing their thing. It's all superhero related. And then is this for your dog?
I don't think it's for you. It's
totally for your dog.
That's for your dog.
Or kid, if you have a kid. like small kid. No.
No, it's for a dog.
It's for the dog.
The way it's cut in the back, it's for a dog.
Oh.
It's totally for a dog.
Mirror,
interesting.
Mirror.
Okay, there's that. What
that
else
was a mirror, mirror, Spock versus Spock.
An aliens versus predator keychain thing, maybe to go on a collar.
Something
or something
on the collar.
For the collar.
Yeah.
And then a magazine, Loot Pets magazine, and stuff in here. Probably this, shows you what this stuff is.
This month was very centered around dogs.
So there's the picture for the shirt.
Oh, that is a beautiful picture. A little puppy with a goatee and mm-hmm. the eyebrows.
I don't know if that's a puppy.
That's a chihuahua. They're all puppies.
There, if you'd like to look through that, there you go, if you want to. And then the inside of the box.
Okay, handed that to me.
That's your inside of the pet Loot Pets box. So there you go.
A lot of stuff in that box.
There is, and it's all for your, it's very dog-focused.
You know, for dogs.
Hey, within it, it says Bat Hound versus Super Dog.
Nice.
That's this month's.
Yeah.
It's the theme of the month, right?
Yeah, very, very focused on dogs for this one. So I'm putting all this stuff back, by the way.
I like this Walking Dead one. Got
again,
a Walking Dead chew toy.
Fantastic radio. And me repacking a box.
Who's the theme on the Walking Dead one? I mean, which character, I mean?
A zombie.
Just a generic zombie?
Just
okay.
A zombie, yeah. Nothing too special.
Speaking of Walking Dead, they announced season 3.
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
Of the
like
game.
Kylo Ren mask for your pet.
Oh, let me see that.
That is amazing.
Put it in front of the camera so everybody can see.
Well, you have the closer camera.
I have
the... Oh, wow.
Closer. That is awesome. I think it's for a cat. My cats would never wear that thing. Well, what a...
Or maybe a pug. They raise it up a little bit. Maybe not that much. Anyways.
No, I was showing the option.
Don't show it to Matt.
Yes.
The pet's name is Chubbs.
Nice.
13 years old. Chubbs has been a longtime Star Wars cosplayer, so this year Kylo Ren seemed an obvious choice. You may have seen her as the Bantha Pug, the Gamorrean Pug Guard, and her most well-known Star Wars costume, the Wumpug.
You missed it last week, RJ. I had pulled out my Visual Dictionary Star Wars book, and so Matt was reading it.
Yeah.
And so like, in the middle of the show, all of a sudden, Scott's like, well, I think we've officially lost him, and Matt's just... scrolling through the pages, he's like, huh, what? Oh, I'll put it away.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Loot Pets is only for dogs. Okay, Medusa's Mirrors in the chat room says Loot Pets is only for dogs, according to their site. I could have sworn they had stuff for cats.
Yeah, like they have the little Star Trek science and medical, again.
Yeah, there's a cat right wearing there. Well, it's a shirt, so I'm sure anybody, you know, any of your pets could wear that.
When I was looking through it, mainly it seemed like the treats and stuff for dogs.
The treats seems to be, dog-centric. Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's fine, because dogs are so much cooler than cats. Yes, I said it.
Okay. And I'm not really disagreeing, but I'm just going to
I know some people, like, you know, would disagree with that, but whatever.
Uh-oh.
Cats aren't pets, they're people.
It's already started.
God, yeah. Cats aren't pets, they're...
I sit in the middle. I like dogs just as much as I like cats.
I lean more towards dogs, obviously.
Yeah, cats are worthless.
I don't lean that much towards dogs.
But... Okay, you know what? I do like cats as long as they're like, you know, stir fried well. I hate cats.
Man.
Really, I'm one of those people that I love all animals. Like, even if it's an ugly animal, I still love it.
No, I mean, I'm cool with animals. If I have a preference, though, if I'm told you can only have one pet, and here's a cat, here's a dog, which one you want to go with?
Yeah, I think then I would go with the dog.
I'm going dog.
Yeah, if I could only have one animal. Yeah. Or a guinea pig.
Yeah, Medusa's Mirror, check this out. It says a monthly crate of geeky gear for your dog. So this seems all very dog-oriented, so I apologize if I gave the wrong impression of what... might come in here. So yeah.
I wonder if like they change it up like next month might be okay, or if it's always.
James says that his cat is cooler than you. James, I would easily agree with you. You know why? Because your cat can't make stupid jokes like Matt just did.
James cats break stuff religiously in his house, doesn't he?
I think most cats break stuff religiously.
Yeah.
But the way James tells it, man, it's like it's a terror in the house.
Love them both, though. Obviously had enough of each species. I think he's still talking about you, Matt.
I don't wish ill upon cats. I respect all animals, but I prefer dogs.
Yeah, you're talking about...
You had some good anger there.
You're talking about eating cats.
I've had dog before.
Now we got a cat.
And there comes... I'll just grab it. This is... Which is probably a bad idea to do at this point. You're on the air. Who is this?
It's me again. This is Chris. Y'all were talking about the cats and dogs, but anyway...
Oh, way to go, Matt.
Anyway, my grandmother has a little chihuahua named Taco. You know, of course, his bite is bigger. You know, he's the way they are. You know, they're all tough and all, and then you clap your hands and they'll run away. But of course, you may remember me calling in about my cat that I had stuffed in the past.
Yeah, I remember that, and you posted a picture on our Facebook page.
I do remember that. What I would love to do
is not bring him here.
That's not what I want to do. I've always wanted to take him over and introduce him to Taco.
Oh, your dog.
And tie some couple pieces of fishing string to him and make him move.
Sounds like he's getting a kick out of just thinking about that.
Which means we will do it eventually.
You should do that and put it on YouTube.
Yeah, really.
And post it on Reddit.
Yeah, or do that. Or, of course, my buddy, they have cats and dogs, and they have a crazy cat named Snow. It is a pure white rescue cat. And I think about wanting to take him up there and see what his reaction to him would be as well, because, you know, because he's has this weird look on his face. You just think he's up to no good when you look at him. But anyway, y'all have fun. I'll talk to y'all later.
All right.
Have a good one, Chris. Moving on from the pet talk, what did I have in the show thing that I totally was not going by? There was that note, the thing about Nintendo stopping production of Wii U's, but then that was, Nintendo came out and completely said, no, that's false. We're actually still doing that. I remember there was the NX controller mock-up.
Kept
floating around, it was fake. Then shown as fake.
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons we never brought it up, because I wasn't sure to jump on that yet.
I don't know why people would, it looked fake to me. I know there was a ton of questioning when the PS4 controller was leaking. You remember all those images of the super fat one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That picture just seemed way too clean, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I understand. Yeah.
It would have been a horrible controller design if it was.
I don't know. Is it going to be, you know, obviously we don't have any details on the NX for the most part. We just have speculation on things.
I'll wait until E3.
Yeah, and I'm curious what it's going to be, but I mean, do they need to, I don't know, does every Nintendo thing have to have a gimmick attached to it?
Apparently, yes.
Is that their thing, apparently?
It's been their thing.
Yeah, okay.
Not necessarily. I mean, the jump from Nintendo to Super Nintendo was just basically graphical power. Of course, you added buttons on your controller, but everybody was. Yeah. And then your jump from that to N64 was again just a thing.
Yeah, but that controller for the N64 was.
You know, if he was going to pull a prank, which he did, he should have just did a redesign of the N64 controller.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been amazing. Mm-hmm. Have like a fourth handle.
Look, honestly. They should have never gotten away from the Wavebird and just used that for the rest of everything that they did.
Yeah.
The Wavebird, the Wavebird controller was fantastic.
Never understood why that analog stick was in the dead center of the thing.
It made no sense.
For injuries.
N64, I think.
And it broke too easily. The
middle of your palm having to use it?
No.
No? Okay.
My hands were big enough that my thumb could reach over there, but it was still uncomfortable.
Well, you never used the leftmost stick. You know, you're always like, you know, cramping your hand between the middle and the right. You know, no one ever seemed to use the left.
But it didn't. It still, even though that didn't come off as gimmicky to me. I wasn't doing much gaming in that era when it released. Obviously, it goes
just
to
bad design.
The GameCube wasn't really gimmicky, other than the size of the thing, showing that it's. I mean, the name and what it was were in the same thing.
What about Dreamcast?
That was Sega.
I know, but I'm saying that Dreamcast that controller.
Fine. That felt fine to me. I still use it every now and then.
I got mine out of mothballs a while back ago, and I just, to me, like, it's not as comfortable as I remember it being. You know, now it's just, you know, I guess I'm just so used to, like, the Xbox or the
PlayStation. And the GameCube was the first time they had switched to discs as well. Yeah, they switched, they finally ditched cartridges and went to discs. Finally. Although they went to the...
Those little mini discs.
Little tiny ones. Yeah. And then the Wii, obviously, was where that... The Wii was, I would say, where they started with that, with the waggle controls. And then they decided to do the 3DS, which was another gimmicky thing, which I don't think a lot of people use anyway.
No.
And then the Wii U... While keeping the motion controls from the Wii, they added that controller where you could play on it while other people watched, you know, you could do whatever, which I think is actually a useful thing. I wouldn't have any use for it because, you know, I'm just by myself.
But I will say I could see Nintendo being the first one to go controllerless. It's all motion.
Yeah.
I'm saying if I anyone, see them do, if anyone anyone's
would,
gonna do it.
It would be them.
I don't know. Anyway, we need to wrap things up here. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room and listening on the stream and on the radio as well. Thanks to everybody who called in. Thanks to GT South as well for sponsoring us. Go by and see them. They're over by across the street from Stivers here in Montgomery. Check them out. Don't forget to mention Batman or Affleck or anything superhero-related probably to get 50% off your appetizer over at GT South tonight. Go to ingamechat.net and join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at colonyofgamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, and if you're on Steam, we got a Steam group there you can join up with and play games with us and other listeners and our community on PlayStation 4. Thanks to everybody who is in the chat room hanging out with us tonight. Thanks to everybody listening as well. We do, as always, appreciate you guys doing that. Have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday. I don't know what this music is.
Mega Man?
That's Mega Man. Here's music from Mega Man. I think it's the ice stage, actually.
The one time it actually is.
See you next week.